Welcome, everyone, to the Legacy Finance Division meeting today. I was wondering if anybody's had an opportunity to take a peek at the minutes for the April 3rd meeting.
Mr. Chair, I did look at the minutes, and I would move them.
Thank you, Representative Heitzman. Very much appreciated. Any questions on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes approved for the April 3rd, 2019 meeting. Thank you very much, Representative Heitzman. Well, welcome, everybody. I know we have many layers of other committees going on today, but it's a big day for us in the Legacy Committee, and we're going to walk through the Legacy Finance Bill and kind of the culmination of all of our good works that we've been able to do. And so, like, just to start off, I'd like to move that House File 653 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And so that that bill is before us. And in your packets is a D3 amendment. And I'd like to move the bill, if that's okay with the committee members, and get it in the shape that we can and work with today. So I've moved that amendment. Any questions to the amendment? The D3? Pardon me?
It's big.
It's big. Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? So we have the amended House File 653 before us. And do I have a new thing? So I'd like to move the House File A11, the author's amendment. So I've members, you can dig that out in your packet. And so essentially that is some of the work that we've talked about with the GOP side and some of our members, and corrections that some of the folks that are recipients have requested to move the money to places in different ways that they'd like within their formulas or agreements. So I'd like to, any discussion to that at this point? It's actually, it's the A11. I'm sorry, my fault. All those in favor of the A11, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? A11 is approved. The little thing. Pardon me?
Because of Representative Waslowick.
Well, she was a very strong voice.
Yes.
And always has been. So, pardon me? So I think what I'd like to do at this point, if we can have staff, essentially, we're very blessed with the A-team here, and I think we're going to start with Ms. Roberts, and if you could, I think, or is that the plan, or to go through the bill and help us tell us our legacy story here. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hagemeyer is in Ways and Means, but my understanding is for the three environment-related funds, that the numbers in the spreadsheet are as the bills were laid over, so the committee has already heard those. So if it's okay, I won't go through those in detail unless, except for the parks, numbers were adjusted to reach the 5% reserve.
Okay. So. Thank you. Is there any questions to that? And Mr. Hagemeyer probably could come if there are questions later on, but thank you, Ms. Roberts. Okay.
And I can point out just real quickly for the totals for the funds, for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, you'll see on line 102, the total recommendations are $127.69 million. For the Clean Water Fund, the total is on line 201 of $261.3 million. And then the Parks Fund, the total appropriations are on line 228. So that's about approximately $50 million per year. So I would begin in detail on the Arts and Cultural Heritage fund, which is on page 5. The first amount you'll see, the total for the biennium is $65.7 million, and that is for the Minnesota State Arts Board. That's 47% of the total available resources. The next, for the Minnesota Historical Society, the total for the Historical Society is $33.9 million for the biennium. The specific breakdowns you'll see for the statewide historic and cultural grants, there's a total of $13.6 million. And of that amount, $200,000 could be used for the Women's Suffrage Commemoration Commission. For statewide history programs, there's a total of $13.35 million. And you'll also see $25,000 set aside for possible development of a second-year, 10-year plan. The history partnerships, the total biennial total is $5 million for, sorry, I need my ruler. For statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites, it's $1.1 million. There's $723,000 for the biennium for the digital library, and there is $100,000 in one-time funding for the Litchfield Opera House. Moving on to the Department of Education, there is a total of $5 million for the biennium for the regional public libraries, and then $50,000 each year for a water safety grant program. So the total for the Department of Education is $5.1 million for the biennium. For Department of Administration, beginning with public broadcasting, there's $3.4 million for Minnesota Public Radio, $3.4 million for the Ampers Public Radio, a total of $8,050,000 for Minnesota Public Television, and out of that, there is $500,000 that may be used for the Minnesota Journeys project. $500,000 for the biennium for Wilderness Inquiry, the Canoe Mobile. $2.7 million for the Como Zoo. $1.2 million for Science Museum of Minnesota. $250,000 one-time funding for the Lake Superior Center and Great Lakes Aquarium, and I should correct myself, all of the funding in the arts is one time, but that funding is just in the first year. For the Lake Superior Zoo, $150,000 for the biennium. For Midwest Outdoors Unlimited, $50,000 for the biennium. $400,000 in the first year for the China Garden in Phelan Park, and then $100,000 for the Green Giant Museum. So the total within the Department of Administration is $20.2 million for the biennium. Moving down to the Minnesota Zoo on line 272, you'll see $3.5 million for the biennium. And then going to the Humanities Center on line 275, this is the amount requested by the center itself for its programs. That's $2.2 million. And then the following items are all items that the commission would serve as the fiscal agent for. The first on line 277, the Minnesota Children's Museum, it's $1 million for the biennium. For the Duluth Children's Museum, $300,000 for the biennium. Grand Rapids Children's Museum, also $300,000. The Southern Minnesota Children's Museum, $300,000. And then the Great River Children's Museum, also $300,000 for the biennium. For the Wheel and Cog Children's Museum, it's a total of $75,000 for the biennium. And then for Region 5 Children's Museum, $50,000 for the biennium. On line 284, you'll see the American Indian Legacy Grant Program, and that is $250,000 per year or $500,000 for the biennium. And the Hmong Cultural Events and Programming Grants, also $500,000 for the biennium. And moving on to the last page, at the very top, on line 286, you'll see for Somali Community and Museum Cultural Grants, $500,000 for the biennium. So the total for the Humanities Commission is $6 million for the biennium. Moving on to the Indian Affairs Council, there are five different items. The first is $1.5 million for grants to Minnesota tribal nations to preserve the Dakota and Ojibwe languages. $1 million for the biennium for Indian language immersion educational institutions, $1.5 million for the biennium for Indian educational and immersion efforts. There's $100,000 for an Indian language working group, and then $200,000 for the biennium for the protection of Indian graves and duties under public law 101-601. So the total for the Indian Affairs Council is $4.3 million for the biennium. Under the University of Minnesota Board of Regents, the Bell Museum of Natural History, $500,000 for the biennium is allocated. For the Department of Agriculture County Fair Grants, $500,000 for the biennium. And then finally, for the Legislative Coordinating Commission, this is the amount out of this fund to maintain the legacy website. It's $6,000. So the total appropriations for out of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund for the biennium would be $139,772,000.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Any questions on the financial side of the walkthrough? Is it the members' desire to, I know the members have spent a lot of time with this bill as well, is it your desire to do a walkthrough of the language? Because I think we could do specific questions. I think Ms. Mullen, did you?
Chair and members, we don't have any policy provisions in Article 5, so there really isn't much to walk through in the language outside
in
of
that.
Okay.
So any questions from members before we move to public testimony? Is there any? Seeing none, Ms. Young, if you're here from the Bell Museum. Looks like welcome. Thanks. Representative Hausman was here. She maybe had to step out for Ways and Means, but
You've
had a very strong advocate there with Representative Hausman.
Thank you.
Ms. Young, welcome. Please state your name.
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Denise Young. I'm the director of the Bell Museum, the state's natural history museum, and I'm going to be incredibly brief. I know there are a lot of people here today who would like to speak. I just want to underscore the importance of the Bell Museum's Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund request. Through it, we're going to engage the full diversity of Minnesotans in interacting with the cultural heritage of our state by creating programs and tools to support their engagement with the natural world. This support will directly include, both in planning and through implementation, people with disabilities and culturally and linguistically diverse communities across the state. We very much appreciate your recognition of the importance of this effort and how it aligns with the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and prioritizing it in the budget. Thank you so much. We're very appreciative.
Thank you very much, and we're all excited to get over to your museum and see what you have going on there.
Anytime.
Thank you. Mr. Dominic? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Welcome. Please state your name and go ahead when you're ready, sir.
My name is David Dominic. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Alliance of YMCAs, representing 17 associations throughout Minnesota. I'm here, Mr. Chair and committee members. Today I'm here to say thanks to the House Legacy Finance Committee for allocating funds in support of the Safety Around Water legislation. Your appropriations to the SALT bill program will provide water safety instruction providers like the YMCA, YWCA, Parks and Rec Department, Scouts, and community-based organizations the opportunity to provide life-saving skills for young people and connect them to Minnesota's treasured water resources. Your support will help reduce youth injuries and drownings as kids enjoy Minnesota's great outdoors, which is a part of being a Minnesotan. A special thanks to our bill author, Representative Wazowick, and a great group of co-authors for leading this important bill. On behalf of the Minnesota Alliance of YMCAs, thanks again, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you very much. Representative Wazowick was a strong advocate, and we're trusting you to do good work. So that's thank you.
Appreciate it.
It's exciting to help people learn to swim. Wilderness Inquiry. I always goof up your name, Mr. Lice.
My name?
Yeah, your last name, sorry.
I'm used to that.
Welcome. And
thank you. So, Chair Lilly and members of the committee, my name is Greg Lace.
Lace.
Just like L-A-C-E is how it's pronounced. I'm the executive director and founder of Wilderness Inquiry, and for 40 years we've been working to get people outdoors of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities. I want to thank you, too, for helping to support the Canoe-mobile and our efforts over a number of years to connect people to the outdoors, especially kids. And I just want to underscore the unmet need. One of our big goals, and we're not asking you to do all of this in one session, but is to get, you know, all 800,000 Minnesota kids outdoors is what we want to do. And, you know, I've been following this issue for a number of years, and I just wanted to share with you real quickly two headlines, op-eds I've seen in the Star Tribune. One of them says here, we need ideas and soon send suggestions because Minnesota's natural resources are going fast. That's from Dennis Anderson in January. Mr. Anderson had another one that said, you know, a shift in the foundation as hunter and angler numbers dwindle, new sources of support needed. That was also in January. There's quite a few more, but I'll spare you. Spare you those. But I just want to say, though, is that the reality is that with your support, we actually are, I think, moving the dial on this issue and figuring out the new model for how to engage kids and restore that outdoor heritage. So I want to thank you very much, but continue to say that we just need to keep doing it and up it. So thank you.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for the work you're doing. I've been on one of your events, and it's really neat to see the kids on the water, and you know, some of the kids, I would guess that the group that I saw might not have opportunities to get on the water. There, some metro kids, and it was pretty neat to see their faces and exploring. And so, thank you for that. I also was heavily lobbied by the former St. Paul mayor. I was at the for so you've got some interesting advocates.
Thank you, we do. I mean, this is a big issue with a lot of support, and I just want to assure all the committee members that spring will come, and we will get our boats in the water, and yep. We're happy to invite you all out there. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Scuda? Welcome. Please state your name for the record and go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair, committee members. I'm Glenn Scuda, the Watershed Division Director with Pollution Control Agency, and I have a letter from our commissioner to you, Mr. Chair, and to the committee. So I'll just hit the highlights to be brief. First of all, thank you for fully funding most of the Pollution Control Agency's funding requests in this bill. But I just want to point out and convey some concerns on a couple items that differ from the Governor's Office and Clean Water Council recommendations that we have concerns on. First is that the river and lake monitoring and assessment recommendation is a $1.2 million reduction from the Governor's recommendation. This would require some combination of reducing our pass-through funds to local governments to conduct monitoring, PCA level of effort on this, and or FTEs at the Pollution Control Agency as well. And I just want to note that the request that we had made was already a 3% reduction from our current level of funding. Also, the accelerated implementation of municipal stormwater permit requirement item is zeroed out, eliminating almost $500,000 worth of funding. This reduction would limit how much assistance PCA can provide to cities in implementing stormwater requirements, which the cities have indicated is very helpful to them. And then lastly, on chloride pollution reduction, firstly, thank you for funding this new change item in the governor's recommendation. But in terms of the language intent, there was a change made where it now states that a certain amount of the money should be used for removing water softeners at public facilities. And the original intent was to work with communities, small communities that need help with getting the systems upgraded or replaced in homes so that they can make progress in meeting their wastewater discharge limits, such as the community of Altura that we've been working with in southeast Minnesota. So thank you very much for your work on this and hearing our testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if there's any questions for you or seeing none. I just want to let you know that, you know, it's, I just, in my time on this committee, I think we struggle in this area of the fund a little bit of, with the, I think the agencies have used this as kind of as base funding a bit. So I struggle with that a little bit of, in my current role, but just as a legislator, I think we all should be a little concerned and just be conscious of that. It's not necessarily bad work. It's just, it just doesn't seem like that's the way it should be funded, much of the work you're doing. And so I want you to know that. And it's not bad work. It's just, and I think some of what's been amended in my mind in our bill is actually, I don't think you'll argue, is necessarily bad work. But anyways, Chair Wagenius, do you have a comment? Or
well, question? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you pretty much said what I was going to say, but I think what you see coming from the Environment Committee is a question of priorities. And there has been no priority placed on drinking water, even though when folks voted for the legacy amendment, we know that that was the reason they voted for it. And for reasons that I cannot explain, and I'm not going to ask you to explain, agencies have failed to address drinking water issues. And specifically from my constituents who drink the Mississippi River water, the river has not been tested for drinking water pollutants. And neither is anybody else's surface water when they use surface water for drinking water. And that's about 25% of Minnesotans. So when you say it's a priority to have four people giving folks counseling on municipal stormwater, there's a priority issue there. There's a priority issue when, and I expect Representative Green has picked up on this, but there's a priority issue when the Clean Water Council, for reasons I cannot understand, suggests spending or proposed spending $750,000 on PR when the Constitution very specifically uses the word only. The money can only be spent to protect, enhance, and restore water quality, et cetera. So I while you might love these things, I think we need to have a big discussion about priorities, and particularly the drinking water priority, which, for reasons I cannot understand, has not been a priority of our state agencies.
Thank you, sir. We have other questions, so I don't know if they're for you, but I'm gonna ask, and then we'll figure that out. Thank you, Representative Heitzman.
Mostly other comments.
Yep.
And Representative Wagenius brings up a issue when she mentions the reason that folks voted for the legacy amendment was for clean water, and I would just point out, as I have on a number of occasions, that when the legacy amendment was being promoted across the state, the way they promoted it in Crow Wing County is they went to the Gander Mountain store and they put a sign on that said in blaze orange, hunters vote yes, sportsmen vote yes. So I think that depending on where you were, there were different messages being projected, and I'm just putting that out again.
Thank you, Representative Heitzman. Representative Wagenius.
I'm sure that's true. Where the most votes came from was in the greater metropolitan area, and that was a drinking water issue. The way that the curiously enough, back then, the way the amendment was offered to the voters, it started out with the language, in order to protect drinking water sources. It ended with protecting lakes, rivers, and streams. And that's because all the polling had told us that if this is, amendment is to pass, water is going to be the first issue for a lot of people. That's not to say that all of the issues weren't important, and I think actually it's because they were all joined together that it did pass. But I just want to emphasize that drinking water was a big issue at the time. So I'll be gentle with that.
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Without our Greater Minnesota votes, Representative Wagenius, there would be no legacy amendment.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, I was not going to speak much today, but seeing as my name was mentioned, and so I think I saved most of my comments for the floor because we've hashed them out here a lot, and I don't want to keep everybody here. But I am going to agree with Representative Wagenius. I think that as long as we're here talking about it, I think that when the amendment was put forward, it was put forward by a group of people that I won't go into, but the clean water and the arts were added on afterwards because they couldn't get it passed the way they wanted it. And one of the problems that I have is that the legislature has just been unwilling to make modifications to this bill. And I know I've gotten on a few, but there's a long way to go. And I do have an amendment coming up later to deal with some of that. But as far as the money being spent for advertisement, for lack of a better word, I don't agree with either. And hopefully in the years to come, we'll get that straightened out or get this thing back on the ballot and let the people decide.
Thank you, Representative Green.
Just to follow up on that?
Yes, I was going to try to let Mr. Scuda go, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to follow up and said that
Representative Wagenius
actually was taken out by the Environment Committee. And that money, that $750,000, was used for other things that actually were constitutional.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Scuda. And I do have one question. So how many staff members at the PCA work with legacy dollars?
I'll have to get back to you on that, Chair. I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you. And again, thank you. I think we're had much agreement or likes, but no, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Besky? Welcome. Please state your name for the record and go ahead when you're ready, sir.
I'm Rich Besky. I'm the Freshwater Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I want to start by thanking you for including the Lasard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council recommendations. I'd also like to note that the Nature Conservancy supports the process and the ultimate recommendations of the Clean Water Council and the stakeholder input they provided, they secured over the course of developing those. I'd like to kind of speak specifically about one of the programs as an example about how Clean Water Fund advances the kind of the state of knowledge for water resource in the state. One of them is the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's Technical Assistance Program. Excess nutrients and sediment continue to be a challenge for us in the state of Minnesota, and it's going to continue to be one unless we identify the root causes of runoff and build trust within the agricultural community and improve the efficacy of how we deliver best management practices. One example that we've been part of through the several years is the River Field to Stream Partnership in southeast Minnesota, using a thoughtful process of working with farmers, collecting data. It secured 98% participation by farmers and has increased implementation of practices by 68% within these watersheds and demonstrated measurable improvements. This is an example of how this program and the funding can provide a path forward to addressing our chronic water resource problems in the state. So with that, I think we suggest our recommendation is to follow the council recommendations and support the technical assistance funding.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir. Mr. Kelleher?
I guess
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society. Simply wanted to say thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the support for history to preserve Minnesota's history and cultural heritage, like it says in the Constitution. On behalf of the Minnesota Historical Society and the 400-plus organizations that carry out this work across the state. So thank you, and we look forward to working with you as you meet your counterparts across the street to come up with a final bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kelleher, and thank you for being good stewards of this money all over the state, and enjoyed many of your programs up at the History Center, but I know you've been doing great work all over the state.
Thank you.
And I think this committee's tried to show that and commitment to you and the work that you've been doing. Thank you. Mr. Dewar? A.J. Dewar, I think something for the county fairs. Please state your name for the record. Go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. We really appreciate the funding that was included for the county fair legacy grants. All 95 county fairs want to thank you for that support, and we appreciate you spreading it out all around the state to us. Thank you very much.
Mr. Dewar, will the county fair that we heard about on the House floor from Representative Murphy, will that be getting some money through this?
Absolutely. All 95 county fairs are eligible.
Thank you, Mr. Dewar.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Dewar? Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Dewar, how long have we been doing this funding for county fairs?
Mr. Dewar.
The funding began in 2011. I believe a member of this committee was chair at the time. And we've kind of been off and on funding since. We had a lot of support in this committee from Representative Erdahl in 2011, and I would thank you, Mr. Chair, for continuing that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Dewar.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Any other people that would like to say positive things or negative things? Any more public comment? Yeah, please. Hi, welcome, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee.
Yep.
My name is Shannon Gijic. I represent the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, and I want to give a heartfelt miigwech and pedamia for including our language funding. I have a pretty exciting announcement. MIAC is working with the governor's office to roll out a language proclamation this year, so stay tuned for that, and again, miigwech.
Thank you very much. It's pretty neat work that is going on there, and the previous chairs and committees have committed to this, and this committee as well has continued that commitment. But you've been good stewards.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Any discussion before we go into amendments? Seeing none, Representative Green's not here. Representative Heitzman, we have an A-12 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Would like to move that, sir?
I would like to move the A-12. Thank you.
Representative Heitzman has moved the A-12 amendment, and we have that before us. Thank you.
So just real quick, members, this amendment would address the ongoing issue with the historic Grindstone River Dam and would allow the DNR to continue discussions with the local community, and then of course the newly minted Representative Nelson as well. So I'd appreciate support.
Thank you, Representative Heitzman. And what's his first name? I get the two Nelsons.
Nathan.
David. Okay.
No.
Nathan?
Nathan.
Oh. Nathan. Okay.
Both.
That's pretty good. He's been here a week and he's already moving the needle.
Right.
Any questions to this amendment? And I intend to be as supportive of this. I think it's a good effort. Representative Wasilek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Heinzman, can you just talk a little bit about what that money might be used for, like what sorts of things? Because I know it's about the history of the dam, but do they have something there already that they're going to be just continuing or maintaining?
So,
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually tried to send the chair a picture of the location because it's really amazing. There's a trestle there. There's a bridge there. And 150 years of history is my understanding at that location with a similar type construction in that spot. So if we're able to visit the Hinckley area and see what they have there, I think it would make a little bit more sense, which is part of the reason I tried to send a photo. But those people there in the Hinckley area obviously see that as a treasure and an important part of their community. So that's, I think, the easiest way to describe that.
Thank you. Do they sell caramel buns? Representative Wasilek?
So I'm just wondering if you could, I don't understand what the money is going to be used for, if it's coming out of legacy. If not, it's not to maintain the dam. So I'm just curious about what it's actually used for. I guess I'm unclear about what that's going to be doing. I'm not against it. I just want to be clear.
Representative Wasilek, my understanding is it's an area that's people sought refuge during the Hinckley fire. And so there will be some signage that will work with the Historical Society to come up with some appropriate signage and that sort of thing. Representative Heitzman.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chair. That's also true. There's a lot of photos that were taken during that time. It was virtually some tragic scenarios played out during that fire and even right there at the lake. And I would encourage Representative Wasilek, if she has more questions, the DNR could probably give some pretty detailed information relevant to the Grindstone Dam.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The A-12 is adopted. Thank you, Representative Heitzman. Perfect timing, Representative Green. We have the A-5. Would you like to move the A-5, Representative Green?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I would like to move the A-5 amendment.
Representative Green has moved the A-5, and it's before us.
Members and Mr. Chair, the A-5 amendment, for a long time we've been getting reports back from the legislative auditor, and there's always been a problem trying to distinguish what is supplement, what is supplant. And I apologize for the lateness of this, and I actually asked for some assistance with this earlier, but because they've been so busy, that I just got this lately. But this is language that the legislative auditor believes will work in distinguishing what is supplement and what is supplanting. And it not only helps us as legislators, but it will also help those who are receiving these funds to know exactly what supplement versus supplant is. I think it's good language. It'll require a written assurance that the people are not using the money for something that they've used for previously. And then it also distinguishes on line 1.17 that an individual entity used 3 out of the past 5 years to pay for expenses related to the same purposes. So it's a clear definition of where the line is for supplement and supplant. And so I'm asking if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them, but I'm asking for your support on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Green. I think it's something that we can support, and I don't, you know, with the auditor weighing in on this, I think it has some merit. Representative Wagenius, and then Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to be voting for it. I just would point out that Representative Murphy did some, I was going to say yeomans, but I can't say that, some terrific work when the legacy amendment was adopted. And so there is language in statute, and I just pulled out the Clean Water. I mean, not going to vote with you, but I just want to point this out. that in the Sustainable Drinking Water or the Clean Water Fund, it says funds from the Clean Water Fund must supplement traditional sources of funding for these purposes and may not be used as a substitute. So that language is currently in statute. One, just a concern I will share with you is some of the things that I think are we now fund as a routine. I mean, this bill looks much like the bill we passed originally. Maybe the supplanting happened 8 or 10 years ago, and now we just continue that funding. So I just have questions about the 3 to 5 years, and that's but I share your concern totally. I just don't know how to get quite at the issue.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Wagenius. Representative Green, but I have Representative Murphy, too, with questions.
Okay.
So however you want to do it.
If Representative Murphy wants to ask a question, then I'll try to address them both as best I can, at least why this came about like this. But.
Thank you, Representative Green. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Green, I didn't understand what you meant by they have to have a written note or a written. I heard you say something about something in writing. That
written assurance.
Written assurance. Oh, okay. Written insurance. When do they get that, before or after?
Representative Green.
Representative Murphy, I think my understanding of the language is, and what we were looking for was, now that we will have a clear definition, and this will maybe answer your question too, I think there has to be something in place, and I understand going back the 5 years, but we can't go back and change that now. I mean, I don't know how to do that. So this spells out going forward, if it's been funded out of 3 out of the past 5 years, that would constitute that. And the written assurance would be, in as I'm reading this, before the funds were let, so that the people, now that there is an understanding of what this means, then they would have the written assurance that they were going to go by these guidelines. That's how I understand the amendment.
Representative Murphy.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Green, who will receive this written assurance?
Representative Green, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Whoever is, whoever is appropriating the money, because it does talk about the agencies that will be appropriating the money, whether it's money coming from the Clean Water Fund, the Parks and Trails Fund, or the Cultural Heritage Fund, you know, and so on. So who's ever appropriating the money would have to have assurance from those getting the money that they were going to apply or follow these directions. Does that make sense?
Representative Murphy. Oh, sorry.
And also, maybe we could ask staff and if they'd be willing to weigh in on that, but that's the way I understand it.
Any Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, Representative Green, the way I would interpret this is either the legislature, so say this committee, or if it's grant funds, the agency would be making that, receiving that and making the determination whether that requirement was met.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Representative Murphy.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Representative Green, I don't want to throw water on this. Clean water or soil water. I just want to tell you about something that happened to me in January or February. I started to get letters from school districts, from the superintendents of school districts or the business managers of school districts, because they were told that my name was on the top of a letter and Representative Carlson's name is on top of the letter, so he's getting them too. We got copies of applications and directives that people, school districts that got Safe School grants had to answer all these. It was like an assurance that they had spent the money, they had received the money, and they had sent the money, and or spent the money, and their schools are safer now. And every day I get two or three of these, and I put them in a file because I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with them or who I report them to, or I had no idea. And I wouldn't be surprised if Representative Hausman was getting a couple, too.
I think Representative Erdahl.
And Representative Erdahl. And so I don't know for sure, Representative Green, if the person receiving the assurance will know what to do with the assurance. And will that person have to report back then to the chair of the Legacy Committee, or what responsibilities does, where does responsibility lie in with the person that's collecting the assurance, and between them and us as we dole out the money another year?
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, I will rely on staff to correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's a process that you need to go through when you apply for grants. And as I would see this, this isn't something that would be mailed out extra at a different time. This would be something that goes out with the grant. And it would be it's just saying that now that we have something in that the legislative auditor has said that he thinks this will work when it comes to distinguishing between what is supplement versus supplant, that within this system of applying for the grant, there would be paperwork in there that says, yes, we will comply with this. That's how I read this.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And in reading through this, I got a little confused, but of course, it was Representative Green's bill. It's happened before. But on line 1.17, is there a word missing? Should it say fund that the individual or entity used three out of the past 5 years? It just doesn't read right to me.
Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, you could add that. It may help with clarity.
Well, I would
Representative Erdahl.
I would like to have an oral amendment to put the word that between fund and the on line 1.17.
So, Representative Green, will you incorporate that into your amendment? Despite the earlier
yes, Mr. Chair, if that would make it sound better to Representative Erdahl, and he would understand it better than yeah, I'd say we could put that in.
Okay. Can I'm sorry, Ms. Taylor, but or someone, Ms. Mullen, will you be willing to read the
Chair and members, the oral amendment is page 1, line 17, after the second fund, insert that.
Thank you. Any questions to that?
To that.
All those in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Approved. Anything else, Representative Erdahl? Representative Wiggins. Well,
as Representative Green is working on accountability, and I totally agree with your working on accountability. There is another statutory provision that we have that I thought was great when Representative Murphy was chairing this committee and put together this language. And it says funding from the Clean Water Fund shall include measurable outcomes and a plan for measuring and evaluating results. We don't get that either. So there's a supplement problem, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's also this problem. And then there's the problem of only. So I wouldn't want us to think that doing, tackling one of these three issues solves the bigger problem or the problems we have with the spending of this money. I think there are actually three. And the only we saw when we talked about using it for PR. But this other part, measuring and evaluating results, we spend $1 billion and we don't have measurable evaluated results.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wergenius, I couldn't agree with you more, and I have had other made other attempts to do that, and they will be back. And this is not the first amendment that I've brought forward to try to clarify things, and I can assure you it won't be the last. And or if you have that, I would be glad to accept that. I think that I would like to see that in a lot of different areas in the money we spend here. So yes, absolutely.
Representative Wergenius,
and well, in this case, it's already law.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is we do now, because I think the law is good and I think the law is clear.
Actually, Mr. Chair, actually, Representative Wergenius, a couple years ago I got a bill through that would have withheld funding for everyone who's not obeying the law. And as to the best of my knowledge, that has not been implemented either. And I think that if we would implement that, and that's our job here, I mean, to look into that and implement that, I think you would see that we would have these things that are already in statute fall into place. And so maybe that's on our shoulders to dig in deeper and do that, and I would be happy to do that.
Representative Wasilek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one clarifying question, well, a couple of clarifying questions for Representative Green. I think it's just because there's so much language in here, but essentially what the amendment is doing is saying if you've used traditional funding 3 out of the last 5 years, you can't apply for legacy funding for that same thing, correct? Is that the gist?
Representative Green.
I'm not really sure I understand that, but I think what the amendment is saying is it's trying to clarify what traditional sources of funding are, because that's been the problem, Representative. You know, it's gone back, obviously, longer than you've been here because you're new. But one of the problems that even our legislative auditor has had is there was not a clear definition of just what that statement meant. It is a good statement, but it wasn't clear. So when you go to do an audit, how do you really know? What is the definition of supplement, not supplant? And that's what this is trying to get at.
Representative Wasilek.
Thank you for that. I guess my other – I do have a concern just because – I think one of the goals of this is to kind of clarify the language, and I think some of the language in here, to pay for expenses related to the same purpose, to me that's really vague, and I just want to make sure that we're not saying that if something has like the same word in a project title that you can't fund it. So I guess I just have a concern about that language not being super specific or clear.
Any final comments, Representative Green? I think we'll
well. Mr. Chair, it sounds like I've got support, so I'm just going to be quiet and vote.
Okay. And members, I think, you know, people can do what they want. I hope that we can work on it, and I think he's kind of heard some concerns, and hopefully you'll work on it. We can tweak it if need be, but I think people can vote how they want. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Representative Green, you're passed. Representative Green, the A8.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A8.
So Representative Green has moved the A8 amendment. Representative Green, that's before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A8 amendment was brought to me by some folks who had actually served in the Vietnam War. They were from Cambodia and Laos, and also from South Vietnam. I should have some water and get dry. But their concern was that there really wasn't anything to tell their story. You know, and we talk a lot about, you know, telling the stories of the people that are here, and also stories about the Vietnam War.
And after I had spoken with them, I did get messages from some Vietnam vets in my district from off of White Earth saying that they really liked this and they was wondering if I would support it. And so I said, yeah, I will carry the bill. And so this is just taking some money from the Arts Board and putting it into I guess you'd call it a program. I don't know if that's really the proper word, but they want to do a documentary on the boat people and some of the other allies that fought with us in the Vietnam War. So that's what this amendment does, and I'd ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Green. Any questions to this amendment? Representative Green, I also met with these folks. I had a very good visit, actually, and I think in the story there was parts of it that were told and told well, and there was parts that were not included. I challenged some of our. I guess I'm going to speak against this amendment at this time, but I think it's. I challenged the recipients that did the story, and I think there were some done on PBS and public radio, and but they did some piece on it. So I challenged them to finish the story and add to it. So that would be at this time I would speak against this amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Green.
I appreciate that. But I think that for them to finish the story, thank you very much. I think for them to finish the story, that's what they're asking for. And I think for the amount of money that goes through this committee in the arts and the amount of money we spend on a lot of stuff around here, I don't really think it's a lot to ask. And I'm not going to get into a back and forth argument with you. Obviously, you're the chair, I do think it's a good amendment, and so.
Thank you. Sure. Any other comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
I believe that did not pass. Representative Green, do you have an A9 amendment? Representative Green, would you like to move the A9 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A9 amendment. This is a really good amendment, and this is it also takes some money from the Arts Board, but it takes it and puts it into some things that I thought we should be using this money for a very long time. And this is called from an organization called Big Ideas. And what this will do is it'll take $350,000, and instead of putting it into things that benefit only a few, this will benefit children across the state. And it actually will give them information and help with their development into things that will maybe help them move further on in their life as they move forward. And so they focus on the development in the skilled trades and to preserve the history and cultural of heritage of Minnesota. And I think that we do stick money into education, but this specifically will work on to things that will help some of these young people move on in life and into the trades. And so I would ask for your support on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Green. Any comments or questions from members? Representative Wiegand, yes.
Well, I don't understand this. To develop an interest in skill trades to preserve and promote history and culture. I don't get how an interest in skilled trades preserves or promotes history and culture.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Wagenius, I think that if you look at the history of America and of Minnesota, the trades are what has, among other things, are what has developed this nation into what we see today. I guess if you look at, most people look at arts and cultural heritage as just arts, but there's a lot of other heritage that we have here, and we see it a lot. We see it in maybe even some of the the last amendment that failed that does talks about, you know, some of the history of those that helped us fight in a war. Well, we also have a history of the skilled trades or industry in Minnesota. And if we're going to be spending money in the youth and in museums, I think it's a good idea to maybe foster some of the skills that would help these kids in as they move forward.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, is Big Ideas Incorporated a nonprofit?
Yes.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, yes, they are.
And did they?
Representative Murphy.
The chair, and did they ask? Did they have an ask before?
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, this is their ask, and they're a fairly new organization, but the reason that I picked this up right away is because it fits right into a lot of stuff that I would like to do, and one of those things is I would like to see more emphasis on the trades, because I believe that the trades will help people, will help our young folks, whether they go into a 2 or 4 year college. The hands-on experience that they get will help them move forward.
Have we received information about Big Ideas Incorporated?
Representative Green.
As far as I know, Representative Murphy, unless they've been to your office, I don't have all the information with me, but I did receive the information on what they did. And I also double-checked, because a lot of people come into our office and they'll ask for money. And I, as you know, I don't like to spend very much money. And so I did look back on some of the things that they've already accomplished, and they do appear to be working very dedicated to these projects.
Representative Jean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Representative Green, I agree with you that we need to do more to support the skilled trades, but I can't see this coming out of the legacy amendment. This is probably a better measure for the Jobs and Economic Development Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Green, or I think any final comments?
And I realize we have to move on, and I do hope.
Oh, there is one more question, if you.
Okay.
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to respond. I also support what Representative Green is trying to do here, and as an individual who works in the trades. I think the comment was made that we don't get history and the trades. Well, I'm a log builder. Well, there's not much more historic in Minnesotan relative to the trades than log building. And so virtually every cabin in greater Minnesota has log columns, timbers. A lot of times we're reclaiming materials from old buildings around the state and around the country. And I think it's really neat that Representative Green is trying to incorporate some of that into a curriculum that might be available in a mobile setting that could help kids understand how those jobs and how the arts and how our history in Minnesota can connect. I think that's really an incredible opportunity, and this committee should very seriously consider that. I'd also ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Roll call has been requested. It'll be granted. I, as chair, was not visited by these folks, but that wouldn't be the end of it for me. Actually, I'm not that Puritan. I just don't feel like we're quite there yet. But I do very much appreciate the value of what our trades folks have added to our state and enhanced it. And, I mean, certainly the words fit. And, I mean, the historic value is huge to me. Representative Heitzman's comments are solid, and his expertise on the logs, building, and all those things are valid. I know if you get a chance, go in his office, and he's got some neat woodworking things that he's done himself. But I've also seen pictures of his personal things. But no, I know Representative Green, you're trying, and it's at this time I'm not going to support it. But it's up to the members and. I'll take the roll. The roll call. Sorry. Here we go. We got our chief of staff has. We got to put him to work.
Chair Lilly.
No.
Vice Chair Wasilwick?
No.
Representative Heintzman?
Yes.
Representative Bow?
Yes.
Representative Green?
Yes.
Representative Hausman?
No.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Erdahl?
Well, yes.
Representative Wagenius?
No.
Representative Zhang?
No.
Representative Green, that amendment is not passed 6-4, but thank you. Representative, I'm probably more inclined to support that one than this next one. Representative Erdahl, would you like to offer the A13 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll offer the A13 amendment.
We have the A13 before us. Representative Erdahl.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the inception of this committee, every chairman has funded law, learning, and democracy for their civics program. About 5-6 years ago, the money was split between K-12 education and legacy. In K-12, in that fund, which this year is $250,000, they use the money to educate law, learning, and democracy, use that money to educate civics instructors in different methods of instruction. Unfortunately, I have sincere doubts and frankly have it on good authority that the $250,000 currently in the K-12 education bill likely will not remain. Therefore, the money that has consistently been funded in legacy, if it is not restored, will basically be a shutout for civics education funding in the state of Minnesota. Now, what does it do in legacy? What has it done for the last 10 years in legacy? Well, kids voting, Project Citizen, We the People, youth in government outreach to small rural schools, all of these programs will cease to be. And so it's important to maintain this funding in light of the fact that the way things are going, that probably will be the only funding that we have for civics education in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. I have some questions, but I just want to state I had an opportunity to visit with Chair Daphne, and he has said, I have a commitment from the chair that it is in his bill, and he intends to have it in his bill. And my commitment to you is, I'm probably going to vote against this today, but my commitment to you is that if it does go wayward and through the legislative process, my commitment to you is that I'll try to work with you through conference committee and try to get it. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, in that case, I don't need to pursue my question.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Erdahl.
Well, I do appreciate that. And in light of the fact that it is in the Senate bill, and you likely then would have the opportunity in conference committee to right the little wrong that may be happening right now, I am going to withdraw my amendment. But also, on it remaining in K-12, would you care to wager a Dr. Pepper on that one?
Okay. thank you, Representative Erdahl. Any additional amendments? We waived our 24 hours, so it was kind of a bit of a Wild West, or could be. I hate to tell you that now, because you might have a piece of paper and a pen. any discussion to the bill as amended? C Seeing none, I renew my motion that House File 653, as amended. Oh, wait a sec. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, could you or someone tell me a little bit about that suffrage monument or whatever there's in there about the suffrage thing?
Ms. Mullen.
Sure.
Did you hear her question?
I did, Chair and members. Yep. Mary Mullen from House Research. The suffrage money is in the Historical Society under the Statewide Historic and Cultural Grants, which is found on page 76. It allows the Historical Society to provide grants to local historical societies, libraries, and cities to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, with a portion of the grants highlighting the experience of women of color and Native American women in Minnesota.
Representative Murphy.
And Mr. Chair, it's events and commemoration kind of things. It's not a statue or...
It is not a statue, which I believe has been requested out of your funds, and you had in your bill. This is for activities to tell the story, is my understanding.
And it's not saying a certain date, right, in the year 2019 or 2024,
when
suffrage came to different people at different times.
Ms. Mullen.
Chair and members, the language says that the money is provided in the first year, but they could probably use it through the biennium to provide education and programming for grants commemorating the 100th anniversary of the amendment.
Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you both. On that particular item, I believe that's working with the Historical Society, and they're going to be working with the advocates and work tell the story all over the state of Minnesota, is my understanding, and do the best they can. So,
and Mr. Chair, Representative Ms. Mullen, if you have the opportunity to share that language with Ms. Dyson, I would appreciate it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? On the wrong sheet there. I'll move that House File 653 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? The motion prevailed. This is kind of our last meeting, and I just really want to say what an honor it's been for me to be in this role, but I've been a nervous wreck the whole session because I have two former chairs and many other chairs around that I respect on both sides of the aisle, but I think that we've really done a good job this session of trying to make this better and to do good work. We had the opportunity recently to have the 10th year of Legacy passing. There was an event, and so I kind of say we're about halftime, and my goal is to be able to renew. I know you don't want to hear that, Representative Green, but that's my goal, and I think we as a committee have really done a great job of that. I'm hoping that we can, as a committee, we can get around, have an opportunity. It won't be extensive like capital investment, but I hope we have an opportunity to get around Minnesota and maybe see a few things. And there are many people in the crowd that have offered for us to visit, and I hope that we can do that. I sincerely want to thank many of our collaborators that receive money, but I think they really have done a good job in so many of these funds to do a good work all over the state from one end to the other. And, it's pretty neat that we're able to be part of that. I really want to thank my staff. Mike told me not to mention them, but Mike's done a great job, and Joe. Our researchers, I just really feel blessed to have such a strong research team, and I know they have so many things that they're working on this time of year, but Mr. Hagemeyer, thank you, and Ms. Taylor, thank you, and Ms. Mullen, thank you, and Ms. Roberts, thank you very much for your what you bring to the table. We're also blessed by our partisan staff, and we have Harry. Thank you very much for, and Margaret, thank you very much for our briefs. It's really interesting to be a chair. I can't read while I'm trying to chair, so I'm not able to use the talking points or the research as much as I can in other committees, but I have looked at them, and thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure to work with you, and we're very blessed with our pages have been with us. Can you stand up? And Mercedes and Ellie, thank you very much. I don't know if members would be willing, but I'd like to give you a hand. Thank you for your help. And believe it or not, they've said they've enjoyed being here and hearing our story and the good work that we're doing all over Minnesota. And but again, thank you all. This is different kind of money. Well, I think all of the money that comes into the state is important, but this is constitutionally approved, and I think it adds a little extra ownership and responsibility, and I think you all have stepped up to do that. So thank you, all the committee members and the public and certainly the staff. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.